science, learning, business, community. You. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to another episode of ThinkWorks, the place where we do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. Now, as promised, we're back to discuss some more about conspiracy theories. Now, we did all the psychology last time, didn't we, Steve?
We did, yes, Darren.
I should have introduced you. Steve, you're in the studio with me today, aren't you?
Hello, Darren, and hello, everyone.
Yeah, so sorry about that, folks. Anyway, as I was saying, so we did the psychology, and then we said it's actually, when we've looked at this, it's grown into a bit of a monster. Because there are so many popular conspiracy theories out there, when we started to look at it, that we thought, do you know what, we need to actually space these out a little. So we're going to do two or three of them today, see how we get on.
I mean, there are loads. We did look at lots and lots of them. Some of them we've chosen because they're just popular, although we can probably debunk them. Some are as popular, but they've got a little bit of mileage in it.
Yeah.
We can discuss that as well.
I think so. I think there's a little bit of this and a little bit of that in some of these conspiracy theories. And also, I think it's interesting that there's been a shift in the way that conspiracy theories are kind of put together, because in the past, before social media became such a giant, what I've noticed is conspiracy theories tended to be lone thinkers initially and coming up with ideas and concepts that went against what the popular thinking was. But now it's like it's an industry. It's suddenly conspiracy theories, it's an industry. Yeah. People are making money on it. And I think there's a real kind of concern about the way that that's gone.
It is dangerous. And we'll touch on this later. Certainly where the influencers are now pushing their own agenda as well.
Yeah, agreed. So I think first up then, we'll look at the moon landing hoax, so-called, and see where we go with that. So if you're not familiar with this, folks, this is where the moon landing, the Neil Armstrong famous One Small Step for Man, is all a hoax. It was filmed in a studio in Las Vegas, of all places, and it just is something that took off for a lot of so-called silly reasons, really.
It did, and it occurred very quickly. Yes. After they'd landed as well.
Yes.
Once the evidence had been shown, the footage, people started doubting it because of certain things, which we'll go into. But I think for me, Darren, we've touched this on the psychology part of it, and we've mentioned critical thinking.
Yeah.
If you haven't got the evidence or facts, you've got to keep an open mind.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people just think, oh, I don't believe it, and we'll just close their mind to it.
Yes. In fact, there's a famous quote, I can't remember what it said. Oh, it was the Doctor Who, when he said, people, the very rich and the very powerful and the very stupid have all got one thing in common. They don't accept anything that contradicts their facts. They shape reality to actually support their facts, or something similar.
Very good. Anyway.
And I think it's right. I think, and there is this kind of this almost inbuilt reaction that says, the more that you try to debunk something, their argument is the more true it must be.
Exactly. The more you get entrenched in it. Yeah. Again, I've got an example later on where it proves that point perfectly. Yeah.
So we'll go back to the moon then. So we've landed on the moon and we've come back from the moon, and suddenly all these conspiracy theories flew that it was all a hoax because NASA at the time didn't have the technology to take humanity to the moon, and they didn't want to let President Kennedy down because he promised by the end of the decade America would land a man on the moon. So, why did people think that humanity had not been to the moon?
Well, there's a few, isn't there, Darren? I mean, there's lots and lots of them. There's probably half a dozen that time held a little bit of weight and are used all the time by these conspiracy theorists to say, this is why it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So I think what we're going to do now is pick on a few of those, explain why the conspiracy theorists think it wasn't true, and then try and explain the reasoning why it was.
We've got a list here. What have you got first there?
The one is, I mean, it's not most the most important one, but it's one that's been used a lot, in the fact that the shadows are not parallel on the moon, and in theory they should be, because the sun's lit from behind you, and you've got two objects, an object or a human, a person, then those should be actual parallel.
Ah, okay.
But if you think about it, okay, is you take the photograph, yeah, and it's a two-dimensional thing, that photograph,
yeah,
and you're trying to represent a three-dimensional thing, which is the moon, okay, and therefore you're not, it's not going to be parallel, it's not, because you're not doing, comparing apples,
yes,
with apples, yeah, and I've seen this, seriously, next time the sun is out in the morning, right, low in the sky,
even here on Earth,
even Earth, go have a look, yeah, right, and stand next to something, and yeah, your actual form will not be parallel to the thing next to you.
Yeah, it's all about the way that light bends and reflects, which it
correct,
doesn't do on the moon. Because, of course, this is, and that also explains part of the reason why the lunar landscape, because that's another claim, isn't it, that where are all the stars in the photos? Why is it black? And I think the argument put forward was because they knew that the artists knew on the props that supposedly where, you know, they were filming this hoax, was that they wouldn't know where to put the stars.
Exactly. It was hard to replicate what the actual, you know, the solar system would look like from the moon. So they just made it black.
Yeah.
I think in reality, one thing as well to bear in mind is, and I think correctly, nearly all the actual lunar landings took place in the daytime. Okay, so the moon's daytime. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think also is, if you are focusing on an object, and I think there's a famous photograph of, is it Buzz Aldrin?
Yeah.
Where he's carrying some equipment, I think, and he's walking away from the camera,
yeah,
and it's black in the back.
Yeah.
But if you're focusing and you've got to take a quick photograph,
yeah,
with a very small aperture,
yeah,
then you're going to miss a small, tiny flecks of what, maybe stars in the, yeah, background. And that's just a fact of photography.
Yeah, it's also because the moon has got an atmosphere, so light can't, it doesn't react the same way as it does in our atmosphere. We can see the stars in our atmosphere because the atmosphere bends and refracts light, so that basically we see the stars. In there is no atmosphere in the moon to do,
correct,
that. So
correct,
light is just light. It's
it
just
is.
And so it's not a case of, oh, it's diffused enough for us to see individual bits of light. It's just light.
Exactly.
So therefore everything beyond that light is black.
Exactly. You're taking a snapshot.
Yeah.
You're not filming it. You're just taking a snapshot.
Yeah. Okay, so they're two of the easiest to explain. The next one is also very easy to explain. I don't understand why so many people resist it, the argument against it. And that is there's no wind on the moon, so why did the flag not only flutter, but also be straight?
Yeah.
Well, that's easy. They had a bar in the flag.
You can see in the photograph, there's like a telescopic arm,
yeah,
coming out from the main flag upright.
Yeah.
Actually, so it makes it proud and prominent,
yeah,
as well. I also think, if you look at it, it looks like it could be waving.
Yeah.
Well, that flag's been folded up for 4 or 5 days during the travel and,
yeah,
then just unfolded. It's going to have creases in. Those creases are going to stay,
yeah,
where they are, because they're not going to blow out because there's no atmosphere.
No, exactly.
It's simple to me.
It's so simple to explain, and yet so many people use that as a key argument to say they were obviously somewhere where, you know, there was an atmosphere, there had to be. And it's like, no, just think about it, guys. So you've got all that going on, and what amazes me about the whole moon landing hoax thing is the denial of two things. One, the technical achievement that humanity had, and the Americans in particular should have been proud about the fact that they landed someone, mm-hmm, on the moon. And also the bravery of the astronauts.
I find it insulting to the hundreds and hundreds,
yeah,
of people involved in doing this, and including the people who actually landed on the moon,
yeah,
that just dismissed. And the fact that all these hundreds of people over,
yeah,
the last 50 years,
yeah,
have all kept stum about it and said,
yeah,
it's actually an hoax. No.
Yeah.
It's,
and of course Capricorn 1, that famous movie, we borrowed the plot from the original book that said the moon landing was a hoax. That was about a landing on Mars that didn't happen, and then the return capsule burnt up, and therefore suddenly the American authorities had 4 astronauts who should be dead who were alive, and the whole thriller thing. And again, I think a lot of people said, oh, that's based on the true story. No, folks, it wasn't.
It's called science fiction for a reason. You know what I mean? And yes, you cannot believe in it, but if you believe there is something out there, then why won't you believe that we landed on the moon?
All the photographic proof, telescopes, you can look through a telescope and see the flag. You can see the things that they've left behind, like the buggy and what have you. They're there.
And that's been verified as well by, I think China, Japan,
yeah,
even India,
yeah,
have sent things up there and take photographs, and you can physically see footprints.
Yeah.
Actual footprints. You can see where each Apollo landing took place,
yeah,
based on where the Americans said it was, and it's there.
Yeah.
And this has been know, so you're trying to tell me now that China, Japan, India, and America are all involved on this.
And as I say, I can't remember who was the guy that wrote the book. Just a minute, I need to look this up, folks, because it has escaped my memory. Bill Kasing. So Bill Kasing was the guy that wrote this book about the hoax and everything that a lot of the conspiracy theorists have used as their source material. And he's gone so far as to claim that the four astronauts were actually brainwashed. They were taken away and brainwashed into thinking they'd been to the moon. He's argued that why did so many of them become recluses afterwards, because it's obviously an after effect of all the brainwashing. And, well, guys, you've been to the moon. You've been into space. You've seen the vastness of space and Earth's insignificance. I think that would make me a recluse as well.
Plus, because people are trying to actually say it wasn't true, it didn't happen, do you want to be an astronaut who's been on the moon to go and have to prove for yourself in a talk show and in front of media to say, I did it? Why would you? You know you've done it.
You've done it.
You've done it.
You've done it. I think of all the conspiracies that have floated around over the last 100 years or so, the affront, I think, to the bravery of those men and later women that went up into space in the shuttle and what have you, I just think it's wow.
But the people say, well, why haven't we back to the moon then? If we could do it in 1969, why aren't we doing it now?
Money.
It's not just money. It's at the time, the Vietnam War also took a lot of money and attention as well.
Yeah.
They decided to do a different space program. We went with the shuttles.
Yeah.
Obviously then, a lot of investment in the shuttles. Our target went away from the moon and became Mars, and it still is Mars.
Yeah.
All these probes are putting out there. So why go back to somewhere you've already done?
Yeah.
I've climbed Mount Nevis. I've climbed Mount Everest. I'm not going to that one. Hold on to the next one.
Yeah. I think there's a lot to be said about that as well, because it's all about... I mean, at the end of the day, folks, what we have to understand is we are an insignificant planet, but we are the only planet that we know of currently that has intelligent life on it. And it would be so easy for that intelligent life to be wiped out. So, therefore, we have to go to space. We have to colonize other planets. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to get to that point if we don't at least get to exploring our nearest neighbors.
International Space Station, again, is another thing as well.
Yeah.
And that's a joint effort. They've had multiple national astronauts who've all seen the same thing on the moon.
Yeah. I mean, one other item that we should probably mention is this idea that, well, why didn't the moon land? If it's a dusty moon and footprints can be there, why didn't the lander, when it took off, create a crater, a blast crater? Okay, now then, folks, what you need to do is think about the Harrier jump jet, which blasts off, it can go up vertically. Mm-hmm. That had to use more power, it has to do more power on Earth to do that than the lander did on the moon with its lighter gravity, mm-hmm. right? The Harrier jump jet doesn't leave craters.
Exactly. But it will probably leave little implants in
and blow some dust away.
Yeah, just like they can see now where the actual Apollo landings were.
Yeah, it's all scientifically there, guys. And I know, as we're saying this, there'll be people who do believe that the moon landing was a hoax who will be frantically typing their debunking the debunks all their life. But the reality is you've got to make a choice. Do you believe that brave men and women would lie, or do you actually support them and think what they did was absolutely astounding, not just on behalf of America, but on behalf of the world?
And ask yourself, is it just something you've got against the government, your government? Is it some preconceived ideas you've got? Or do you actually really believe we didn't land?
Yeah.
Because you're not looking at the facts and the evidence. This is one I feel strongly about.
Yeah, me too.
It did occur. You just denied it.
Yeah, it's just... I think there's an element of truth in that as well, about the fact that there is this need, I think, for people to distrust government and distrust governmental agencies, even back then, because of the whole the various wars that had happened, people weren't very happy with them, and distrust built up anyway. And I think it just suddenly became this whole thing where everything the government says is a lie.
Yeah. Yeah, but that leads to a lot of conspiracies as well.
Yeah, I think so.
And I would guess, and I'm not doing anybody a disservice, I hope, but a lot of people who probably believe in the moon landings didn't occur also believe a lot of the other stuff
that we're going to talk about.
did not occur as well.
Okay, so is there anything else about the moon before we move on to the next one?
No, I'm okay.
The next one is a tricky one, and it's controversial, and we need to stress very clearly, folks, that what we're talking about here is, when we talk about the 9/11 attacks on America, is that we know that there are a lot of still deeply held feelings of hurt in the populace of America. So please understand that where we're coming from is a good place, really.
And it's a case of, because one of the theories is the US government let it happen.
Yeah,
I don't think they did. I think the issue with people may have is, how and why did it happen? Why didn't we stop that?
Yeah,
I don't think they could, but the theories behind it.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so let's just recap then. So basically, 9/11, the attack on the Twin Towers in particular, the flight that flew into the
Pentagon.
The Pentagon, thank you. And then the one that the passengers actually managed to take over the flight before it crashed into anything else, but it still came down and crashed.
Flight 93.
Yeah. So, shocking event. More Americans killed in one single day than on any other event in history.
Through a terrorist attack. Anyway,
yeah, and I think the problem is that America has, for its, you know, its philosophy on manifest destiny, and its almost belief that it brought itself into being through strength of will of its own people. They always felt that, I think, that they were immune to what was going on in the world. All this other nasty stuff happened elsewhere, never in America. And I think that is the reason why, A, there's two, that gives rise to two sets of thinking. The first one is, why there's so many conspiracy theories, because a lot of Americans cannot accept that they were attacked on home soil. And the second line of thinking is, that thinking pervaded into the thinking of American security forces, into American government officials, into the very forces that defend America.
Immigration came into it. There was
everyone felt that something like that could never happen on American soil. And I think if we look at 9/11 logically, you can see why there is a resistance to the official story that terrorists did take the planes, they did crash them, and all the events that preceded were not planned by the American government so they could go to war. I think that's the biggest kind of nut in these conspiracy theories that have been put forward. So what's your thinking, Steve? What have you pulled out of the reasons why people think?
We've done the psychology bit before. We've done the anti-government bit before, obviously. So there are probably four or five in my mind that continually persist throughout people's thinking. One of them is, and I had to investigate this because I've heard this so many times, and I thought, let me think about it. It was, how could those planes cause too much damage to bring those towers down? The thing is, though, you've got to understand, they've gone in there with loads of fuel. There's eyewitnesses said, well, the planes went into the actual high level of the towers, and then not long after, there's explosions in the lobby. Yeah. It must have been a detonation. Somebody must have planted a bomb. But if you think about the size of these towers, massive lift shafts, massive utility shafts.
They were also hollow in the centre.
Exactly. And that fuel's going to explode. It's going to combust with everything else in there.
Drop down to the basement.
Exactly. Very quickly.
Yeah.
You know, burning fuel, all the paper, desk PCs. Yeah. That's going to drop dramatically through gravity and through force of the fire. You're going to get things going off, little things blowing up, and you're going to get a fire in the lobby.
Yeah.
To me, that's normal. If you, I'm not saying you ever have, but if you see how a fire takes hold of a building, right, the main top goes, but you'll see bits of puffs of smoke, and you'll see bits of fire coming out all the way.
Yeah, because it gets everywhere.
It gets everywhere.
It gets everywhere.
It's very pervasive.
And this is the thing, because a lot of people point to the fact, well, yes, but the towers were supposed to be able to withstand the impact of an aeroplane. Yeah, but it was built in the 60s. The designers have said it was state-of-the-art in the 60s, right? The architects have said, even before the attacks on 9/11, if they knew what they knew then, when they built those towers, they would have built them completely differently, because science and technology and also the understanding of how everything works together, all these have advanced over the 4 decades since they were put up.
And these planes carry a lot more fuel.
Again, it just comes back to this sense of shock, I think, that such a thing could happen. And it's almost like minds want to justify that we are not vulnerable, therefore this must be planned from up above.
But for what reason? To go to war with Iraq again?
Yeah.
I don't know. The other one which I think is a bit of science here, what's interesting. People have said that, you know, the steel, the girders and that, they only melt at, I think, sort of 1,500 degrees.
Yeah.
Whereas aviation fuel will burn at a maximum of 800 degrees. But you've got to understand, with all the other actual flames going on, all the heat there, that heat would have probably got up to 900, maybe to 1,000.
Yeah.
The thing is, stainless steel at 1,000 loses 90% of its integrity.
Yeah.
Therefore, although it's not melted, it is so weak structurally, it's going to start collapsing on itself, which is why the towers came down.
In the way they did. Not a controlled explosion.
Exactly.
In effect, it resembled a controlled explosion simply because the pressure of the weight above on weakened structures meant that you've got all that weight pushing down, and so the weakest bit, which is at the bottom, is going to go first because it's got all the weight on it and it's been structurally compromised. Mm. You have to bear in mind the impact alone will have shook the foundations.
Absolutely. They weren't travelling slow, were they?
No, they weren't. So it all can be explained scientifically, and it's just, I think it's just such a, again, comes back to, I mean, it's interesting because we were reading a book that's been written on conspiracy theories, and the people that wrote the book have said of all the conspiracy theories that are put forward, this is the one that angers them because of all the people that did die, and for people that have hooked onto this, the planes were drones, empty drones that were flown by remote control.
Yeah. There's another one I've read as well, is that the TV footage, right, holograms, they've superimposed a plane on a missile as a hologram. How are you going to do that?
Yeah.
It's worldwide media, by the way, so every media company in the world has to be in on this, on that particular one anyway.
Yeah.
I think also you talk about, you know, people are starting to think differently. Spike Lee, a very famous director, can be controversial, he's quite political. He did a documentary about this, and he was going into all the conspiracies. He withdrew a lot of these conspiracies when he was shown factual evidence.
Yeah.
And he changed his documentary. He still said there's some issues to be answered, and maybe
there are a lot
more investigations to be done, and I probably get that, or there's some being done. But if a person like that's going to say, hold on a minute,
I went in to make a documentary about the fact that the American government was behind this, by the end of it, I'm like,
I might want an answer to A, B and C, but X, Y and Z has been explained. Okay, so...
I mean, there were some things that went wrong. I mean, for example, why did it take so long for the aviation authorities to inform military defence? Why did it take so long for the planes to get into the air and to the actual New York in particular, when they could have been there? They might not have been able to intercept the first plane. I think studies have shown if they'd have taken off straight away and flown at maximum speed, they could have got to the first plane a split second before it hit.
Mm.
But they were there. They could have been there well in time to stop the second one. So I think there's a lot of questions to be asked. Again, I think it comes back. I don't think it was on purpose. I think it was just people wouldn't believe it. It was like the Titanic sinking when they sent an SOS out and that one ship that could have got and rescued a lot more passengers didn't stop because they said, oh, it must be a hoax, the Titanic's unsinkable. Mm,
exactly.
It's that kind of
so there are these questions, but it doesn't mean to say it was planned.
No.
Or it doesn't mean to say that the US government let it happen.
Yeah.
Things happened, but could it be preventable? Maybe, but not by any bad intention.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I do think, I mean, I don't know, did you see that documentary about the firemen? There was a documentary crew filming two brothers in the fire crew for something completely different. They were just following the daily routine of these two brothers. It's the most...
Not seen it.
Oh, my goodness. It is the most incredible, and I mean incredibly moving, powerful. It's like the best action movie of all time. Because these firemen went charging into that, and all of it was filmed, and they were caught when the towers collapsed. They survived, because they just happened to be in one part of the basement where it sheared off, so they survived, but it's all on film, and it's just, you think all those people that you're saying didn't actually die, I think again it's an insult to the ones that did,
especially the firemen, but the US government actually were responsible for. I mean, I would say fortunate, but I went to the 9/11 Memorial Museum a few years ago, and I'll be honest, I didn't see it all. I could not watch it all and go through it. It's a big thing. It's just so emotional.
Yeah.
I was with my son, so we left after a bit because we just could not compute it all.
No, the phone calls from the planes are the ones that always get me.
And the pictures, the images, and it gives you a little, it says, you know, please be mind these very, very sobering and very upsetting scenes. And you go in and you do see videos and photographs of basically people jump me from windows. Now, nobody's denied that that occurred.
No.
It's just that somebody think, or people think, that a government would do that.
Yeah, to its own people.
Yeah.
It's just... I mean, we all love a good conspiracy thriller. We all love 24 with its dark forces in the government planning all this, that and the other, and in hook to American corporations. And I'm sure there's a certain amount of little to-ing and throwing going on all the time, and not just with American governments, but all governments and big business. But to actually do that, and again, it comes back to me, always, all these 9/11 conspiracy theories always come back to the same thing to me. The American psyche could not accept that they'd been vulnerable on home soil.
But it's not just that, they're not just saying about the towers as well. They're saying all three of the major incidents were a conspiracy, which is very well coordinated, I must say. And there's so many eyewitnesses to say to the contrary. I mean, the plane that went into the Pentagon,
it was obviously an airline jet,
and they're saying, well, how come the hole in the wall of the outer ring is so small? And they're saying it's only 16 foot wide. Well, it's not in reality.
No,
it's about 76 feet wide. So that's a complete light. You can you measure that on the actual on the photographs. But the thing is, if you look at what you've seen the footage, the plane lost a wing as it hit the ground.
Yeah.
That wing didn't actually go into the actual the outer ring, hence why the actual hole's smaller. The 16 foot, which actually is 12 foot, is in the third ring, right? Because the momentum's slowed down.
Yeah.
Because you're hitting solid steel, reinforced concrete and steel, which slows it down.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, well, that's what would happen. You know, a plane ploughs into a house, it's going to go straight through it, about the other side. It goes into three or four rings of the Pentagon. It ain't going to go through it.
So, so I think you're right. And I think it all comes back down to, again, people don't understand the science behind this kind of stuff. If you see any plane crash, because one of the other things put forward is, why is there so little debris? Well, if you see any plane crash... normal plane crashes, there's hardly, and it goes on fire, there's hardly anything left of the plane. This is traveling at high speeds into a building, so you've got not only the impact breaking everything apart, you've got the fire, you've got the fire then mixing with all the other parts of the building and all that debris.
Because
that's why there's so little
also
debris.
Don't forget, but if you look as well, if you do really study the footage and the thing, a lot of the debris of the plane is inside the building.
Exactly.
So it's not. It's gone straight through the first wall.
And this is what the amazing thing is, because that was pointed out, and then one of the guys that put forward the main conspiracy on his website actually pointed out and said, well, what about this piece of debris that's on the lawn? That is suspicious then, because that's almost like it's being planted there to make people think there'd been a crash. You can't win against that kind of argument. It's either the absence of debris means there wasn't a crash, but some debris means that there wasn't a crash either, because the evidence has been falsely planted.
Exactly. But no amount of evidence will change people's views on this,
no.
Unfortunately. I think we're not dismissing people's feelings here and the anger and upset of what occurred.
Yeah.
It did occur, and it was absolutely atrocious, and it affected the world. It affected me personally as well.
Yeah.
But for me, the fact that it's still around 20 years later, it's testament to the mistrust that people have in the US government in this particular place, which I think the fact they think they did this, it's a very worrying place
to be. It is, because there's already distrust of government. And if you think about that, and that you elaborate that and extrapolate that rather to its ultimate end point, it's the fact that, well, why should we follow any rule, any law? Why should it then becomes everyone for themselves?
Yeah. Anything that goes wrong in this country or affects me is the government's fault.
Yeah, yeah. No personal responsibility
either.
But yeah, as we've said, we both, and I need our American listeners to understand this, we are both in unison with you about the horror of it,
100%.
About the shock to the system that it must have caused to Americans in particular, and we understand that, and we will honour that.
And we respect
disaster.
Everybody was impacted in that as well. I worked at an American company. A lot of Americans was in the UK at the time when that occurred. We were watching the live footage, and it was just horrendous.
We were on a conference call to Americans. They weren't in the Trade Center, but they were in one of the buildings as part of the complex when it happened.
So people, we are not saying, you know, we're not trying to dismiss any kind of emotion,
belittle it at all.
It's just saying, look, you know, look at the evidence, look at the facts. Do you honestly, in your heart, think, whether you hate the government or not, they would do this?
I think at the end of the day, that's where you need to come down to. Okay, so shall we do a third one? I think we've got time to do a third one today, haven't we? So,
not bored of listening to our dulcet tones.
What would you like to talk about?
Well, it's something that, I mean, this conspiracy I'm going to mention now has been around for a few years, but it's only come to my attention recently, where the previous two have been there since they basically happened. I was alive when they both occurred, and so they've always been with me. It's something called chemtrails.
Yes.
Which, until I first heard it, looked into it, I thought, what's all this about? But it's quite interesting, and this, I think, is the one that's got a little bit of mileage in it.
Yes.
And we'll dig a bit deeper into it.
So explain, what are chemtrails then?
Well, for me, they're not called chemtrails per se. Basically, condensation trails.
Yeah, vapor trails.
Vapor trails, which occurs. Obviously, got planes giving out a lot of heat from the exhaust, and they're getting on water droplets, and they're going to freeze and form crystals. And that's actually the trails you'll see in the sky. Some people, though, believe they're a bit more sinister than that.
Of course, they do.
And they're not vapor trails or condensation trails or contrails. They are chemtrails,
right.
So there are chemicals into them.
And what is the purpose? Who's put them there and why?
So some of the conspiracies that people believe these chemtrails are doing, they're here to alter the weather, do some mind control, even to the point of maybe population control. For instance, people think they are spreading COVID-19 throughout the globe, to actually reduce population in certain areas.
And also to get us all microchipped.
And also mind control as well.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these are absolutely, to me, ridiculous, but there are a couple coming up I'll discuss that gives me a little bit of food for thought.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing I would say, about this, though, is that if you are at high altitude, with the humidity as it is, that's when you're going to see the chemtrails because you're higher in the atmosphere. But the UK Met Office did a study on this, and because they're so high up in the atmosphere, whatever is up there would never make it down to Earth. It's too high up.
Yeah.
So they'd have to be flying at a low level.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you look outside when there's planes in the sky, in a clear sky, planes at low level don't have a lot of chemtrails because there's actually not very high humidity.
And yet, if it was some kind of controlled substance that they were trying to pump into the air, it would probably be at the low to medium altitudes and not the high altitudes that we see.
Correct.
So scientifically speaking, there's a reason why we see high altitude vapor trails, but not at lower levels.
So why do these persist then?
Why do people?
Where did they come from? These things. Well, to me, it's been around since the mid 90s, I think it is, and it came by when I think it was a US report talked about. I think it was something like weather can be a force multiplier, and it said how can we own the weather in the future?
Yeah.
And it's all about what things they could do to control the weather. Not mind control.
Yeah.
Not population control, but control the weather. And so I looked into this a little bit and I thought, you know what, there's a little bit of mileage in this, because back in the 60s, in the Cold War, both the US government and the UK government actually did some mock bilateral warfare tests.
Yes.
Where
they did one in Bristol, didn't they?
They did a few over a number of years, and they put this, it's like an iodine substance, I think it was, which becomes infrared when it reacts with the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Not infrared, sorry, ultraviolet. And they actually did pump this out to see how the chemicals would disperse.
Yeah.
And they used ultraviolet imaging to see how it spread, how quickly it went, how far it went. So, and that's basically been admitted that the governments did that.
Yeah.
So, back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, they've already done that. You know,
what other tests have they done?
What other tests are they trying to do? Yeah, you know, they've proved that they can do spread these chemicals for a reason. But what else are they doing? We don't know.
So, I mean, so am I right in thinking that there are two different kind of theories as to why chemtrails are happening? It's one is to control the weather, and the other one is to control minds. Is that right?
There's two others as well. I think the mind control's a little bit more out there.
Yeah.
But the weather, I think, is a good one. I mean, back in the, well, it was over a long period of time, in the 60s, 70s, I think, the US government, because they used to have these really powerful hurricanes and they're coming out of the Gulf of Mexico and that, they actually created a chemical substance that they were going to spray into hurricanes before they reached the actual land. And they were trying to change the what's called supercooled hurricanes at the centre. And they're putting these chemicals in, which they call seeded.
Yeah.
So you seed these hurricanes, and the idea was it would actually freeze some of the water drops in there, which would change the entire structure of the hurricane, which would slow it down, make it less forceful. But they found, after analysing over a number of years, that had no effect whatsoever, and the unseeded hurricanes acted in the exact same structure as the one they tried to seed. Again, debunked, but the fact they were trying to control what happened with the weather.
Now, am I right in thinking now, however, that there is a lot of traction in the idea that we might be able to create rain? So if you've got a particular arid place and you need to get water, you can pump some kind of salt crystal or something?
Yeah, you can. They've tried to do that in America, the Dust Bowl and stuff like that, and, you know, to try and get the crops to grow. I mean, there was another one as well in the UK where they tried to put some crystals again into these to disperse the clouds, but that also, not disperse, but to capture the sun, in the clouds, right, which would then raise the temperature, which then would, the Met Office could say, look, it's the highest temperature in the history of records.
Oh, right.
Therefore, we must have global warming
to
actually champion the government's, you know, policies.
Spending.
Yeah, exactly. It's debunked. They never did it.
No.
But that was a theory.
No, it is. It's fascinating how these ideas suddenly arise from seemingly nothing other than vapor trails in the atmosphere. Mm. And yet we're suddenly talking about weather control, mind control, conspiracies to get money pumped into environmental projects. Mm-hmm. It's all from vapor trails.
But one of the big stumbling blocks for me is it just one government doing it with their own planes? Is it every commercial airline's involved in it throughout the world?
Yes. You know,
think about it, guys. Is that really feasible?
No.
I mean, that's just not... So, yes, there are certain governments probably have done something for good to try and alter certain things in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
But to say that we're all going to be mind-controlled and we're trying to control the population doesn't stick with me.
It reminds me of the fluoride debate when fluoride was put into water, and there was a study done saying apparently it makes us all docile and sterile. It was done to reduce population growth, but also to make us a bit more docile in terms of following governmental instructions. And again, that's been debunked. But it's interesting how we're constantly looking for reasons why people behave in certain ways. And it's not because we're people and we behave irrationally. It's because it's been done to us.
Exactly. We're getting into the realms of Matrix here, though, aren't we?
Yeah.
I mean, it is beyond belief when you think about it. I mean, are we all controlled? Nobody, do we not know our own minds? You know, is somebody out there, some power
controlling
what we do? I don't think we'd be human beings if there were. Our quest to do things, striving to achieve things, going to the moon is one of them I'm going to mention. Yeah. If we were being controlled, right, then surely they'd suppress some of these things we're trying to do.
Yeah, and I made this comment earlier that I can't remember who it was now, but basically the conspiracies pre-social media tended to be put forward initially by free thinkers, people who questioned the status quo because of intellectual issues or because they wanted to intellectually challenge the way we were being governed. But now, because of social media, it's a bandwagon. It's a circus. It's a way to make money from advertising and hits.
Exactly, because they're getting so many people following them, that Microsoft or IBM, whoever's going to we're going to advertise on your page, pay some money because you're getting a million hits a week, which is a worrying thing.
Yeah.
So these influencers have got an hidden agenda.
Yeah.
And you and I, hopefully, are not this ilk, but there are a lot of people out there, certainly the younger generation, who are literally influenced by these people.
Yeah.
Oh, so-and-so said it on YouTube.
Yeah, famous for being famous.
Then it's like, it must be true, without looking at anything we've talked about in the previous two episodes about evidence, fact-based stuff. I mean, there was one thing, it was on Twitter, or it's called X now, isn't it? No, can't stand that anyway. There were thousands of accounts created, right, to follow this influencer. And this was in America. And then they just purely talked about chemtrails.
Yeah.
Right? It became that powerful that they did a survey of about 10,000 American people on this account.
Yeah.
A staggering 10%, if you extrapolate that out, that's a lot of people, believed chemtrails were damaging us and run by the government. But even worse for me, 30% said, oh, it could be true. That's tens of millions of people, if you extrapolate that out, who think that somebody out there is trying to control the weather, control us.
Yeah, it's interesting. I did an episode on Carl Sagan, on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and I followed up on one of his quotes, and he said something, I can't remember word for word, folks, so bear with me, but basically what he said was, we live in an age uniquely dependent on science and technology in which hardly anyone knows anything about science and technology. And he was afraid that that gap between the dependency and the knowledge could easily be filled with exactly what we're talking about. People rushing to fill the gap with pseudoscience and not really understanding the implications of what they're putting forward and how it could and couldn't possibly work in the first place. And I think there's a lot in that. I think that as we've dumbed down as a people, and we have done, there's no doubt about it, I think it's more... The very people that are saying the government is controlling our minds are actually the people that are controlling our minds.
Mm.
Because they're using the techniques of brainwashing and pseudoscience and peer pressure and peer reviews from all these people saying, oh, well, look at this. It's not just me saying this, but these other five people are saying this as well. Therefore, yeah. It must
yeah.
be true.
Yeah. I think in addition to that as well, we talk about the social media thing, but think about this. We all can see, I'll call them contrails, conversation yeah. trails, they're not necessarily chemtrails. We can see them.
Yeah.
So that's physically with our eyes. It's not somebody telling us about it or a photograph. Yeah. We've seen them. So it's easy to suddenly say, well, there could be chemicals.
Yeah.
And then that explains a lot of things that people don't understand or can't rationally. Why do we potentially have environmental issues?
Yeah.
Why are certain chronic diseases going up in society?
Yeah.
And it's easy to say, you know why? Because it's the chemtrails.
Yeah. We're being poisoned.
Exactly.
We're being done to. So is there anything else you want to add about the chemtrails?
Well, I think, not to add about the specific issues, but scientists have proved many times and times again, like they've taken samples and everything, that there's no evidence to say that there are chemicals per se in the condensation trails we see. However, the fact that I know the governments have actually put chemicals into the air, either whether it's to do a test biowarfare thing yeah. or whether to try and control the weather, makes me think... Are they doing something out there? Not that's going to be detrimental to society, but yeah. more to help us
yeah.
and to help the planet as a whole.
It's a holy grail, isn't it? About especially about the rain creation, so that areas that are particularly arid, that have populations there, and if we could get rain to fall on those areas, it would benefit everyone anyway. So I can understand why people would pursue that, and it is a bit of an holy grail. And I think there has been some advances in the science of that, but I'm just not convinced that it could ever be done on a mass scale.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you would need every single commercial airline flying in a straight line together, really, yeah. to kind of alter the weather to that scale.
I would think.
Yeah.
You control the atmosphere there, it's just ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, by the way, if we can control the atmosphere, like certain sceptics believe, then sure we can fly to the moon.
Yes, absolutely. You can't have it always, folks.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, now, we've got at least another couple of episodes, I think, where we can discuss other ones. And we definitely want to do... One of the ones that we're definitely going to do is the Illuminati.
Yes.
And I'm going to tie into that, if it's all right with you, the theory about the Hollow Moon and the lizard people, because there is a growing number of people making money on linking the two together. I'll explain all about that in the time. And I'm looking at Steve's face at the moment, he's going... Lizard people? Hollow Moon?
I'm okay with Illuminati because they really existed and probably still do today. Yeah, but yes. I think lizards and Hollow Moon, you'll have to convince me on that one, mate.
It's no, exactly. And I just think it's brilliant. And so we'll have a fun with that one. Mm. But I think there's a couple of others that we want to just do as well, which we'll come and do next week, shall we?
We'll do that next
if
week,
not yeah, next
absolutely.
Week, we'll do them in the week or two following. Yeah. But yeah, I hope you've enjoyed this. What I want you to do, folks, is join in the discussion. Come and join us in the forum, which is darreninform.com/thinkworksforum. There's always a post for each individual episode that we do. Come and join us in there and tell us about your favourite conspiracies, because who knows, we may well add them to the list while we're going forward. And have a conversation with us. Tell us why you think we're wrong, even. We can have an honest debate.
Yeah, I mean, we are not experts, you know. No. We are just interested in these kind of things. We do some research. We're not writing books on it. We may have got the odd thing wrong. The general facts will be there.
Yeah.
But if I've got a percentage wrong about something, just take the pinch of salt. I'm trying to make a point.
And what we want to do with ThinkWorks is get that old-fashioned sense of discussion and debate back. It's not about trolling. It's not about, you know, just literally going straight for the throat. It's we want to have discussions and we want to get people asking questions. That's the whole purpose of ThinkWorks, is to get you asking questions.
And to think, and maybe think sometimes, well, no, wait a minute, I've believed in this, you know, unconditionally that this is a conspiracy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll look at this and then maybe I'll just change your thinking a little bit.
Yeah.
And let us know if it has.
Yeah, that would be fab. Right, any last words, Steve?
No, I've enjoyed that.
Yeah,
that's good. That's a good one.
And we'll come and do the next one as soon as we can fit it into our busy schedule.
Excellent. All right. So take care, folks.
Yeah, and stay safe.
Like to find out more or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for @DarrenInform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.